This is the Night Party Roundtable Discussion, and I'm here with Thomas Robb.
And Jason Robb.
We have no other person in our roundtable today.
Was that Steve?
We didn't see Tom last week.
You did.
It was just Rex and I.
Right.
We did not have a roundtable. We had to cross the table.
Well, summertime, a lot of people are going on vacations, or they're doing, you know, extra stuff with families, you know, so that happens a lot in summertime.
Yeah.
And so, but anyway, we're just well pleased that you have decided to join us today. And some exciting things that's happening with the Dice Party. We have the summer edition of the Crusader that is being sent to the printer.
Is that the printer now?
Is that the printer now?
Oh, and here comes our co-host.
We have Nicolette. Hello, Nicolette. And Kinley. Kinley Robb.
Say hello, Kinley.
Say hello. You're on the air. Say hello. Yeah.
Just say hello.
Say hello. Okay. Anyway, so we have Kinley, and then we have Nicolette Dunscombe, and that is Charity and Freeland's daughter. And so they are both here. And they spent the night last night.
Got more crabs. All right, there they go. They spent the night here last night together, the cousins. And within about a month, it'd be the same age.
Right.
And so they're both five.
Yeah.
And they're bouncing all over the place. And they're excited because they got some more crayons.
Got some more crayons.
And they went swimming yesterday, and they had a ground painted their fingernails. And then they had a tea party.
A tea party,
and
right.
And then they had bubble baths. And then they had, helped Grandma make brownies with whipped cream. And then we had a little tent set up in the living room. They stayed in the tent. So they had lots of fun, didn't you? Yes. Okay. Then today they're all bouncing all around, all over again. So.
But anyway, yeah. We are having the, like I was kind of saying before, we have the summer edition of the Crusader at the printer. A lot of great articles, a lot of great pictures, a lot of things that has happened since the last publication of the Crusader. We of course publish the Crusader four times a year. And so this is the summer edition. And so there's great articles in there about the activities of the Knights and the different associates across the country, the different projects that the Knights are involved in. So it's a really an exciting time. And then we always have a mass literature distribution of the Crusader. We always encourage members to order mass quantities, so 50, 100, 200, whatever, you know, they can do. And then they have the literature distribution. And we always try to do that every edition. Now, we have people that distribute literature every single week, but we always try to focus at least four times a year with our massive distributions.
Well, with our newspaper, you know, newspaper. And then there's always some left. Well, not left over, but we always have quantities that people buy throughout the year, like you say, and say, oh, I want to buy some more papers to distribute. So they might buy 100. But it is four times a year when the paper is going to the printer is when we really emphasize people order quantities of them for distribution, because it really is kind of a responsibility that parties, you know, not that we check up on them or anything like that, but, you know, they should understand that we want to get this message out to our people, and they should considered like an evangelistic duty,
right,
to help spread the message, the good news of White Christian Revival.
Well, I know just a few few weeks ago, several of our members in the Massachusetts Boston area did a massive literature distribution, and it was very successful. Not only did they, you know, get out a bunch of literature out there, or the Crusaders. The flyers, but then that hit the media circuit out in that Easter coast, and so it was on the news there about the Knights, you know, recruiting, you know their headlines recruiting in the area, even though we have members everywhere, you know, and
we're always recruiting. So
yeah,
like, oh, we have the recruiting suddenly.
Right. And our goal really is
not. It's like saying that First Baptist Church is recruiting.
Exactly.
Or the Republican Party is recruiting in the area.
That's why you have an organization.
Yeah. Of course you're going to recruit.
And we take it differently that, yes, we're always looking at to recruit. We're always looking at to have more members. I mean, that's naturally what an organization does. But our main focus is to get that message out, to proclaim this great message of white Christian revival, and give hope to, you know, our white Christians out there. And so that's the real message that we are trying to get out there. And so to us, you know, and other members, that's our focus. It's not, oh, we, you know, we got thousands of literature out in the Boston area and no one joined. Oh, I guess we'll just pack up and leave. I mean, so the focus is not really trying to get members, which is nice, and we always are wanting members, but that's not the focus. The focus is to try to awaken our people up. That's right. The focus.
Absolutely. Yeah, because, you know, putting out literature like that does touch people's lives. They do become awakened to some. They may not join. We've had people that join and say, oh, I got a piece of Klan literature 10 years ago, 12 years, 15 years ago, and I've never contacted you. I just carried it around and showed it to my friends, my buddies, or maybe a woman showed it to her friends, you know, and girlfriends. And they have this literature. They kind of keep it for like a souvenir. And suddenly at some point they think, you know, I really think we're getting bad. I need to call these people.
Right.
And we have that happen a lot.
And more than ever, I mean, this is the time. Today is the time to really get out there and distributing literature, social media, actually tossing out literature and stuff like that, because the environment that we are involved in now, that we see around us about the hatred with Christianity, the hatred of our white civilization, we have never seen as what we've seen
even
now.
The hatred to traditional morality.
Just traditional morality.
That's the whole point. There's a hatred towards morality.
Right.
And people are looking about that way. But when you have homosexuals, transvestites, and transgender people attacking our faith, attacking the basic concepts of nature.
Right.
That's a hatred towards nature.
And your the massive amount of your, we'll call it just typical traditional white families, they see this hatred. And it just makes them disgusted. And so really, this is the time. We are in an age that is really ripe for picking, you know, and getting that literature out there, getting the message out there. People are more than ever are going to start listening, because they see what we talk about in our literature about all the things that's happening with our people. They can see it around them. Yeah. It's not foreign to them. 30, 40, 50 years ago when the racialist resistance, the white resistance was putting literature out and sounding the alarm, people couldn't see it. They couldn't really see the massive immigration. They couldn't see, you know, the moral degeneracy, you know, happening around them. That they just couldn't see it. So when we would try to spread this message, it's kind of a lot of times just fall on deaf ears. Yeah. But now they see it.
Right, and it's surprising. I can't verify this because I just heard it in the news. So I want to qualify my statement by what I heard on the news, okay? But Bill Gates, who has been very liberal in so many of his policies, a few years ago made a statement that that the United States needed to adopt an immigration policy similar to Germany. But a newscaster said the other day that Bill Gates just recently stated that if Germany doesn't change their immigration policy, Germany will be destroyed. That's quite an awakening.
It is.
You know, I don't know how he said other things, but that's quite an awakening.
Right.
And I don't think Bill Gates is going to suddenly start sending us large contributions.
Yeah, I don't expect that to happen.
I don't expect that. But it does show that people are starting to become a little bit alarmed, because the concept of helping somebody, immigrants, or the concept itself isn't bad. I mean, you know, by nature, our people want to help people that are in need. So the concept isn't bad. But when you lose focus on the harm it does, and this is what we're faced with, these people wanting to help are now seeing that it's not helping them and it's harming us.
Right. Because what we see is when you're actually helping them, when you're changing the focus of your immigration policies on everything, you're seeing the destruction of your society, you're seeing the destruction of culture, and you're seeing your people being annihilated. I mean, that's when we talk about white genocide, we see that in all aspects of our culture and of our people. And everyone and people see that, you know. And so, yeah, even your staunch pro-immigration individuals like Bill Gates, I mean, he sees it, you know. So anyway, but that's what I think really exciting about, you know, the Crusader that we have going to the printer, a lot of great articles in there. And I really would encourage our readers and the listeners here, you know, when you get the Crusader, you know, make sure you're reading, you know, through the very front of the page, the very end of it. There's a lot of wealth of information on there, and pictures. And a lot of times, you know, we get busy in our daily lives, you know, and even as members of the Knights, you know, we think, okay, what activities are the Knights involved in and stuff like that. And that's one aspect that you, if you read the newspaper, you will see what the Knights are doing as far as all the members and what's happening at headquarters here. And it should give you the ability to be proud of your association with the Knights.
Right. And the thing is, I know a lot of people are thinking, well, newsprint is out of fashion. Everything's done on the internet now. So, and we understand there's a lot of social contact through the internet. But the thing is, the other is still an important piston in this engine. And there's still a lot of people who would never consider, even look at the alternative political ideas like the Knights present, with unless a paper to throw up in the front yard and they Absolutely. Pick it up and begin to read it. Well, so it is one of the tools, but not the only tool. It is one of the tools. It's why we do the internet. It's why we do our broadcasts. It's why we have people do programming on our White Pride Radio, and why we do our news call broadcasts on White Pride. White Resistance News.
Yeah.
So it's all part of the tools that are used, and the newspaper is a part of that tool also. Getting doing media interviews, part of the tool. We want to use every tool that's available to us.
And when a person's getting the Crusader, you know, on their lawn or on the desk at business, they're going to read it, they look at it, and if they're sympathetic, they're going to be talking to their friends. They're going to get on social media and get on Facebook. I mean, so that one newspaper is going to contact hundreds of people just through talking and social media and itself.
Well, yeah, they like to talk about, we've been getting calls, maybe a newspaper say, or a police department might say, we've been getting calls from a literature distribution. Well, they might get four or five calls, but out of four or five calls, out of hundreds of papers being put out, I mean, a lot of people might have thought, hey, this is pretty good.
Absolutely.
And the thing is, it's not illegal. I had a newspaper call me the other day and said the very same thing, that the police department had gotten numerous calls about this distribution in Massachusetts. And I said, well, why are the police department investigating that? I said, it's a constitutionally protected activity. They have no right to waste taxpayers' money to investigate that. They're more investigating somebody while you're walking down the street.
Right.
And he said, well, no, he said, they're not investigating it. He said, we've contacted the police department. The police department informs us that it is a constitutionally protected activity. They have a right to do that, and they are not investigating it at all. So a lot of the police departments are aware of that. They see the problem themselves.
Right.
They might be wearing a uniform, but they know there's a problem out there, too. They're still white, and there's not whites in police agencies also. I understand that. But a lot of these white people, they understand that they might be wearing a uniform, but they understand. They understand what's going on in the country also.
Well,
and they do understand the Knights Party support for law enforcement.
Yeah. Well, this massive literature distribution that was done with several of our members in the Massachusetts area, of course, this is going back several weeks ago. We had sent a letter to the mayor and to the police chief and let them know that the literature distribution was a protected activity, that the members are not doing anything illegal, that they have every constitutional protected right to doing that. And we did that not because the police or the mayor was saying anything differently, but there was a black organization that has sent a letter to the mayor and the police chief saying that these different individuals should be trying to, that are doing the literature distribution should be investigated for possible hate crimes, you know, because intimidation and stuff like that. So they're just looking for something. And so we sent a letter out saying back to them that they're doing a First Amendment activity. They have every right doing that. And of course, we have not heard a response at all back from them. But the fact is, they even in their own newspapers in the Massachusetts area, the mayor and the police chief said, it's a First Amendment activity.
Based upon that letter you sent.
Right.
And so you guys got that letter and said, well, you know, it is protected.
Right. Absolutely. And so, you know, people need to be aware that that they have a right to do the literature distribution. You know, they always got to be, you know, discern of where you're at in the areas. You know, obviously, don't do literature distribution if it's heavily non-white area, because you're not trying to recruit non-whites.
Right. And so we're not trying to intimidate them. We're trying to witness to our people.
Yeah. So go to areas that are middle class areas or, you know, good neighborhoods, safe neighborhoods, and pass out literature and roll them up and put them on the front lawn.
And if by some strange chance a police officer does stop you, be polite. Don't argue.
Oh, right.
Don't give him a reason to knock you inside the head with the billy club.
Right.
Just be polite, and if he says you cannot do this, don't even argue with him.
Right.
You don't even argue with him. He said you can't do this.
And you just keep going. Just leave.
Just go on home and come back out another day.
Right.
You know, go to another city, another.
Right. Because I tell people all the time that at that point in time, they're the ones that has the badge. They're the ones that have the gun. You know, handcuffs. And ultimately, it doesn't help you to get locked up over the night, you know, to have to sit at, you know, at jail for 4 or 5 hours to see if the officer is actually going to charge you with something. You know, there's no reason for it. You know, just comply. Okay, yes, sir. We'll comply. We'll go ahead and leave. You know, just go and then wait a day or two and do some more. I mean, or go to another town. Right. I mean, so it doesn't help anyone out, especially doesn't help you out. No, if you're being detained for several hours, because a lot of times you get officers who maybe don't know the law. You know,
didn't read your letter.
Yeah, they may have had a supervisor who said, yeah, if there's any suspicious activities, don't you need to watch them, detain them, and see what's going on. And you might get a young officer who's, you know, a good cop, just really don't have any idea, and no, he's just trying to do what's right. And
too often people try to educate the police officer.
Right.
They get stopped for whatever reason it may be. They try to educate the police officer. That's not the time to do that.
Right.
It's not the time to do it. It's just going to get the police officer he's going to dig his heels in, and you don't know what's going to happen. You could get possibly arrested. And then you've got arrest to deal with.
Right.
So, if that happens, but it's just, I don't see it happening that way.
It really does.
In all the years that I've distributed literature, I was stopped one time, maybe the second time, I guess. But even the officers were very polite, and they didn't, you know, we're just polite with them and so on, and they.
Yeah, because they're looking for people that are committing crimes. They're going out there looking at people that are committing robberies and thefts and stuff like that. They're not looking for out people distributing literature. So you're really like low on their totem pole.
Yeah.
It's not like that they're driving at nighttime going, oh, I wonder who's out there distributing literature.
Right.
You know, so often these agencies are so understaffed with officers that these law enforcement officers are actually going to where people are committing crimes. And so by some chance they're getting stopped, they're, for the most part, they're going to want to just move on. You know, they're not going to want to deal with you.
And the thing is, we always advise people, you got a couple hundred papers, do an area, a couple, three blocks, and go to another part of town just to go, don't saturate up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. So you're there for, you shouldn't be in an area more than 15 minutes or so, then off to another area.
Exactly.
And again, not because you're doing anything wrong, it's just because the fact is there are people who don't agree.
Right.
I mean, there are people that are hateful. There are people who don't understand. There are people out there who they see our literature are going to want to call the police. Right. And the police, when they get a phone call, they have to respond.
Right.
They have to respond. And so, you know, just go to another area. But people do it, have a lot of fun. They get the kids involved.
Oh,
rolling up papers. They go out and few minutes, pass out 5,500 papers, drive to another part of town, pass out 7,500 papers, and they're back home in an hour. And, yeah. And we never hear of anybody being stopped by the police.
You're right. It just really.
No. And actually, I've been stopped twice. I'm talking about a 50-year span.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
I'm talking about twice in the last week.
Right.
You know, outside of that, I don't ever hear people being stopped by the police. You know?
And the reason you want to do it over a massive area because of the fact that, it causes more of a, if it does get to the media, that it will cause more of a publicity from the standpoint of showing that all these areas were hit, literature distribution. The goal is not necessarily trying to get it in the media's hands, but the goal is that you want to try to reach out as many people and just doing little pockets of neighborhoods here and there that will cause more of a buzz, that will cause more of a talking point. It will, and if the media does get involved, then the media is going to even hype it up even more. Say, oh, in all these communities, you know, this is where all this literature distribution, and you may have only done 25, 30, 50 literature in different little parts of communities.
I recall here a number of years ago, you'll remember this, Jason, there was somebody in Los Angeles is a pretty good sized city.
Right.
You know, and they got 100 papers, Crusaders, and they distributed them one night in Los Angeles. And it made news all through the city, probably 2 days.
Right.
It was a talk of Los Angeles TV news. And so, you know, but the object, like you say, Jason, the object isn't trying to get a news story. It's nice that happens because it helps people know that there is a resistance. But but getting a news story is not the object. If people pass out literature and they don't see anything on the news, don't feel, oh, you failed. You've got the literature in the hands of people, moms and dads and young people who are maybe don't have a grasp of what's happening or don't see anybody who's speaking on their behalf. And so it is important to get the literature into the hands of people. If it makes the news, okay, that's fine. But that is not the object.
Well, because what will happen is these people that are getting these newspapers, they're going to look at it. What are they going to do? They're going to get on their smartphones. They're going to type in KKK.com.
Right.
They're going to look at white resistance news. They're going to see that, and they're going to go, oh, my gosh, I believe what these people are saying.
Yeah.
These are people are saying the exact same thing that I'm saying.
Now, you know? See, that we're not crazy like the media sometimes.
Absolutely. Because that's where they're going to get those newspapers and start typing KKK.com and start sharing that with their friends, start talking to them about it. Opening that conversation, opening, you know, this other world that they knew was happening, but didn't know what people out there are resisting this filth that's happening in our country. And so that's the main agenda, you know, is trying to get that in the hands of our white families. So literature distribution is just a great aspect of that. So we really would encourage people out there, you know, in the future, order mass quantities of the Crusader every time there's an edition coming out. We always do that 4 times a year. This is the summer edition. And so, you know, listeners out there, you know, your members, make sure you do your part and order.
You don't have to be a member. Somebody says, not a member, but I like to pass out some literature.
They need to contact the headquarters here, you know.
You don't have to be a member.
Right.
You know, we're not going to pressure you to join in because, you know, we like people to join, but we're not trying to be the biggest club in the country.
Right. Well, we're not, and we're not a club.
Right.
You know, but the thing is.
But some people's minds, that might be the framework of what they're thinking.
Right.
And that's the point I'm getting at. We're not trying to, that's not our goal. So we like people to join to help keep us viable, but we have lots of friends.
We have a lot of.
Who are not members.
Non-party associates that go out there and do the literature distributions and share stuff on social media and are participants of coming to conferences and everything else. And they may not be, per se, members, but they back us financially and they back us with being friends as far as sharing the same ideas and goals of the NICE Party.
They share the message, share the paper, distribute it, and so on. They just, for whatever reason, they want to join.
Right.
That's fine.
Right. And so, if you're listening to this, obviously, if you're a member or a non-member, call the office, 3414. Or you can go
to office hours.
Office hours, Monday through Friday. Or you can go to AmericanHeritageCommittee.com, I believe. And you can order massive literature quantities, I think from 50 to 100 or even more. And you can do that as well. And so really would encourage everyone to do that. Do your part. It doesn't cost that much money to order the quantities to do that. And
if you have children, it's important because you want to involve your children. You don't want to be the guy that grows old and when kids are out running around, you know, not caring.
Right.
You want to pass this legacy on to your children. And the best thing to do is get them involved and develop a let them see the love you have for our people and our nation. And they'll see that love, just like parents may show love for a football team or love for a baseball team. And they got their kids dressed up in the, you know, caps or shirts of their favorite team or their favorite ball player. And the kids develop that same love for that ball team that you have. And so the same thing here, you know, show excitement and love for the Knights and for the White Resistance and for our people, you know, with flags, you know, and show excitement. And the kids will learn that excitement also.
Exactly. Well, we just have a few more minutes. The next thing I kind of discuss is the Knights Party Leadership and Family Conference that's coming up on Labor Day weekend, September 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Literally just 2 months away.
People may not need to mark the calendar now. I mean, walk away from the computer for a minute. Walk to your calendar. Mark it down. It's that important.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's vitally important. It's all day Saturday and all day Sunday. And this is one of the biggest conferences of the year. And because it's a two full day event, Saturday and Sunday. And of course, Sunday evening, we have the traditional cross lighting. But it's vitally important that you bring your family, bring your spouse to these events. And the conference here that's coming up, it's going to be really an exciting conference. We have some great speakers, some great members that will be speaking from different parts of the country that will be sharing their story, telling about the different activities that they are involved in as far as spreading this message for the Knights Party. And so we have some great speakers here, some great events, some activities that the Knights are involved in. And I really like it because it's really kind of like the nuts and bolts of the Knights and the organization. And so that's why obviously it's the Knights Party Conference, Leadership Conference and Family Conference, but it's for families and the Knights to come together and discuss the goals and the plans of the Knights throughout the year, what has been happening the previous year, and also kind of, you know, kind of rejuvenate about staying positive in this cause that we're involved in. But I always like it because of the time that members can kind of once again visually see what the Knights are doing, visually see what really sets the Knights apart from many of the White Resistance organizations out there. The Knights Party is really a unique organization. It's really the only White Resistance organization out there that has a campground, that has modern facilities, has a center, has headquarters, has cabins for men and women to stay at. I mean, you visually can see that, and unfortunately, people in the Knights sometimes maybe not recognize the difference, but there's really no other organization out there that has the facilities that we have. Right. Their presence on the internet, they may have a webpage, but they don't have feet on the ground. They don't have members throughout the country that are doing what we are doing. They don't have a facility and a place where they can actually go and congregate and hear speakers. It's not like when people say, well, where's the headquarters of this organization? Well, it's at that P.O. box.
Yeah.
When you talk about where's the headquarters of the Knights, people know it's outside of Harrison, Arkansas. They know there's land associated. You can drive to it. You can see the center. You can see the headquarters. You can see all the facilities that's happening, and it's like, wow, it's really an eye opener to see the activities that's going on here, because you can't really do that in any other organization. You can't really drive to any other racialist organization and say, this is where their headquarters are at, because it doesn't exist. And this is something that has been focusing on for several decades. And
even now, as we're speaking, there's people over there at the center doing things.
Exactly.
The grounds have to be kept looking nice. You never know when a reporter's going to drive up there. Right. So we always want the place looking nice. There's people up there doing maintenance right now.
Yeah.
And so we believe we do have something unique, something to be proud of and join it. But not just that, but it's the message we're proud of the most.
Absolutely.
The message reach out with love to our people. And that's what we're involved in. So,
well, I think we're about the end of this episode. We're cutting it short a little bit this week. But we really appreciate everyone tuning in, listening to the Nice Party Roundtable. Share this on social media. And also, even though it's summertime and people are out there going on vacations, don't forget your responsibility to continue to tithe and donate to this worthy cause that we're involved in. We're not supported by big Wall Street. We're supported by men and women that love this country. And it takes money to operate this organization with all our outreach projects. And so we really would stress upon everyone here listening to us, even if you're not a member, to call the office and donate. You can take credit card transactions.
Well, there's a donate button right here on the website.
On the website, you can do donate, send it us, write a check. But just remember, you're still your obligation. It's still your obligation because it allows us to continue this work every day.
Absolutely. Reach out to our people. So it's very important. Look at your child, look at your children, look at your family, and then tell them that you don't think their future is important, and because it is. Well, until next time, this is Thomas Robb.
Jason Robb.
Reminding you to love your God and to love your people.